Amen. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Truly a pleasure and an honor to be here, and good to know that the man of the house honors the relationship we have. That warms my heart. For Pastor Phil and the leaders of Crossover, God bless you and all the work you guys are doing in this community. Let's give a round of applause for the great work of this great family. I do want to recognize a few people in the house, but before I do that, I want to bring you greetings from the Metropolitan Baptist Church, where we're under the leadership of Dr. Ray A. Owens, and we just celebrated 10 years of him leading our church, so we're grateful for that. And I understand this ministry has been in existence roughly about 10 years as well, so God is pairing it all together in his name. Amen. Few people I want to recognize here, friends, family, and some extended family that are here to celebrate with us. First and foremost, my beautiful wife, Charmaine. Stand up, please. Let them recognize you. One of the other more important women in my life, and that's my dear mom, who's partly responsible for me being here and existing. Mama, stand up. Raise your hand. Then I have a bunch of other friends, extended family that are here. Please stand up. Let them recognize you. I appreciate you being here. I want you to be recognized. My niece and little nephew there. So we're grateful for your presence, particularly on this day. And there is a word. There is a word from the Lord. Now, during this time we're going to share, feel free to speak back to me. That is okay. It is allowed. If something that is said that you agree with, it is okay to say amen. Is that all right? All right. The context for today is in Matthew chapter 25. We'll be reading from verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I went to the eye doctor this week, actually, and I wear contacts and glasses normally. But they told me that I have like a degenerative kind of condition with my depth perception. In other words, I'm getting old. And so I have to wear these reading glasses now with my contacts. It's kind of crazy. But so y'all pray with me as we get through this. All right. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. A very, very familiar passage of scripture. And yet I think God has something special for this house. He gave me this word back in February 26, 27th. I began just kind of writing what was imparted to me, and I really believe he was intending it for usage in this hour. So let's go into the word. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and it reads, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Word of God for the people of God. For the time we have to share, I want to lean into and kind of unpack the thought and center this around doing more with less. Doing more with less. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to break the bread of life through your word. Speak through me, your humble servant, on today. Open up the ears of the people so that they may hear. Father, make room in their hearts that they may receive. Let the words bring seed into their spirits and fall on fertile ground and bring forth fruit for your great glory. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen. Doing more with less. Crossover Bible Church, have you ever found yourself in a situation or a circumstance where you had to do more with less? What I mean by that is, take, for example, you got a 2-bedroom house, and you have to try to make it comfortable enough to accommodate the 6 kids you're trying to raise in it. Doing more with less. Or maybe it's your paycheck that you receive every couple of weeks. At times it seems kind of small, and somehow you have to stretch it and try to make it go further. Doing more with less. Now let me set this example up. Imagine this scenario. We have 2 mothers, and they both take on the motherly duty of ensuring that your children are fed each and every day. You got mother number one over here, and you got mother number two over here. So let's focus on the first mother. She has 3 kids and makes a pretty good living. So on day one, after church today, she's going to take her kids. They're going to go to brunch at the Cheesecake Factory. I know that's right. Day two, her family goes to dinner over at P.F. Chang's. Day three, she orders Hideaway Pizza and picks it up on the way home. Day four, she takes the kids and they go eat at Olive Garden. Okay, you see the theme here. The mom is caring for the kids. They're eating, but they're eating out every day. Okay, but she's doing her motherly duty. So let's look at mother number two. And mom, I'm going to use you for an example here, if that's all right. Okay, this is a scenario I grew up in. Okay, a large family, 8 kids. Mom works a steady blue-collar job. On Sunday, day one, we would have the typical Sunday dinner, which was big at our house. It would be a big old pot of pinto beans as the main course. You know, we'd have meatloaf for neck bones to flank the beans and some cornbread on the side. Candy yams as well. Day two, neck bones, meatloaf wouldn't make it past the first day. So we'd make a meal out of just beans and cornbread. Day three, this is when it gets a little bit creative. Cornbread is gone, but there's still a big old pot of pinto beans left over. So mom would add some ground beef to the beans and put it over a bed of rice, and she called it hush mouth beans. She said, it's so good, it make you hush your mouth. And whether you liked it or not, you had to eat it and hush your mouth. Day four, the beans and ground beef dish gets added some chili seasoning, and now you got bean chowder. Get you some saltine crackers and some Fritos, and you go about your way. Now, in both scenarios, the mothers both fulfilled the purpose of ensuring the children were fed. But can we agree that one of the mothers, in this case, my mom's example, she did more with less? I think we can all agree that she achieved the same results, but had to do more with less. So here we are, Crossover Bible Church. I've been sent here today to encourage and remind you that God has given you a grand vision to transform the lives of the people in this community through his great glory. And you're going to do that through relocation, reconciliation, and redistribution. Now, I know that the way at times may seem difficult and sometimes even impossible, as if all you have is a pot of pinto beans. But as my mom has just shown you, you can do more with less. So I'm here to encourage you as you continue on the journey to occupy the promise of God and know that you'll be faced with moments where you'll have to do more with less. But it is in these moments, through Christ and Christ alone, you'll use the gifts of this collective body of believers and achieve the results established by God. So as we go into the text, chapter 25 of Matthew, we find Jesus sharing the second of three parables with the disciples. To give a little context here, Jesus is aware of what awaits him in chapter 26 of the same book, when the plot against him would begin and all the events leading up to the cross would begin to unfold. So Jesus has began preparing the disciples and used the illustrations in the three parables found in chapter 25 as a way of equipping their understanding and teaching them about the kingdom and the future to come. Now, as we unpack this parable of the talents, I want to highlight that we have four primary characters in this story. And I'll refer to them from time to time. We got the master, the guy with five talents, the guy with two talents, and the guy with one talent. Now, a talent in the ancient world is a monetary weight of either gold or silver, basically their form of money. But the definition we know for the word talent today, it refers to our gifts and abilities, which it was actually derived from this parable. Now, typically when you see and hear this parable being taught, the focus typically goes to the five-talent guy and the one-talent guy, primarily because verse 28, it talks about what the master says at the end of the story when he takes the one-talent guy's talent and gives it over to the five-talent guy. That's what's left in your mind, the one-talent guy and the five-talent guy. But what about the guy with two talents? Did he not show that he had just as much worth with his performance as the guy with five talents? I would argue that not only did he show himself worthy, but he illustrated far more gifts than the guy with five talents. Does it take any more effort or knowledge to turn 5 into 10 as it does 2 into 4? At the end of the day, they both doubled their money. The lesson I want to ensure we grab a hold of today is the two-talent guy had to do more with less. Now, notice I didn't say achieve more with less. He did more with less. Here's what I mean. The five-talent guy had chances to trade and invest his money, take a risk, mess up, and try it again up to 4 more times. Whereas the two-talent guy only had 2 bags of money and a couple of opportunities to get it right. He couldn't run the same risk as the five-talent guy because his money would run out if he wasn't careful. The two-talent guy had to employ more creativity, at the same time more caution. More ingenuity, at the same time more risk management. All these factors, and he still was able to achieve the same results as the five-talent guy. My brothers and sisters, in life, the issue is never about how much we have, but how well we use what we have. Can I say that one more time? The issue is never about how much we have, but how well we use what we have. So, Crossover family, God has given you a mandate to go and occupy the land located off 36th Street North. You have been given the vision of a multi-phase, multi-million-dollar facility that will encompass roughly 68,000 of square feet when it's all said and done. Unlike other ministries, though, with thousands of members and 5 talents, God has assembled this body with 2 talents, but he's given you hearts filled with love and a desire to complete his kingdom assignment. Amen. So here's how God is going to set it up, and I want you to get this. He desires to stir up your creativity, in order for you to seize the opportunity so you can achieve the victory. Amen. I think I'm going to say that one more time. He desires to stir up your creativity in order for you to seize the opportunity so that you can achieve the victory. Let's walk through that process here. So in verse 14, Jesus states the master called the servants, and then in verse 15, he distributed his money according to their ability. Called according to their ability. Say that with me. Called according to their ability. This sequence indicates that the master had foreknowledge of the abilities of each of the servants before he called them to distribute his money. The master distributed his money to the guy with two talents, already knowing he'd use his gifts of creativity and caution to achieve the desired results. He knew beforehand that the two-talent guy would carefully yet diligently put his gifts, knowledge, and experiences to work on behalf of his master. My brothers and sisters, every man created by God has a natural endowment, a sacred trust, and a mission to fulfill in this world. The gifts God has so graciously downloaded into each and every one of us is given to you so that we might improve it for the master's use. Somebody in here today, I bet you have some gifts that God gave you and you're not using it for God's glory. He knew the gifts and ability he created in you when he formed you in your mother's womb. But ask yourself, are you creatively and intentionally using and improving your gifts to advance God's kingdom agenda? If not, it's time to stir it up. It's time to stir up the gifts unto God's glory. Paul reminds us here in the 8th chapter of Romans that God foreknew and also predestined. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So I say to you, Crossover Bible Church, God foreknew before he called each of you on this journey together the gifts, the abilities, and the knowledge and the experiences within each and every member of this body. One scholar describes it this way. Each has his special religious talent or capital in his original nature. And this becomes to him in the church a gift. The collective creativity and gifting that it takes to turn two into four has already been illustrated in the life of this ministry. You see it all over. I see Pastor Phil, Justin, and all the leaders putting together the framework to allow all the aspects of Crossover to function effectively. They creatively take time and put together a framework to worship in this space, have a clinic and offices in another space, run a children's program in yet another place. And it is the testimony of God stirring up their gift of creativity embedded in all that is happening in this ministry. So God has called you and entrusted you to fulfill his kingdom agenda for this community. And it is when that creativity gets stirred up from which the opportunities available to us will unfold. In verse 17 of the text, it states at the beginning of the verse, so also. This is a reference to the action in verse 16, in which it states that the guy with five talents went at once to put his talents to work. No hesitation, no waiting, but only a seizing of the opportunity. Time is of the essence, particularly for the two-talent guy. Because he has to be more creative and cautious, he has to make all these things work together. But he wastes no time. He gets going and he gets moving towards his purpose. A scholar writes it this way. It's either progress in gain or regress in loss. Forward and finally all, or backwards and finally nothing. So Crossover, are you ready to seize the opportunity? The gifts and knowledge and creativity of this body has been uniquely positioned for the opportunity to create a new reality for many of the families right here in this community. Now is the time. Right now is the time. Now is the time to seize the opportunity for families to live in their own home. Now is the time to seize the opportunity for kids to get a quality education in a neighborhood where they can walk to school. Now is the time for kids to have their own ball field in their backyard. Now is the time for families to shop and receive health services at a location right in their neighborhood. Crossover. It's time to seize the opportunity. And then finally, brothers and sisters, if you have stirred up that creativity and you've seized the opportunity, you will achieve victory. In verse 22 of the text, we see the guy with two talents meeting with the master and proudly delivering back to him not only the original two talents, but also two additional talents as well. The master congratulates his servant's work in verse 23 as he states, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Now notice that this is the same language that was spoken to the guy with five talents in verse 21. Now this parallel language demonstrates that Jesus makes no distinction between the first two servants regarding their degrees of faithfulness. Also take note of him repeating the word faithful. He could have easily said, "Good and faithful servant, you did a good job managing a little." But no, he repeats the word faithful, which what that illustrates to me is, and I want you to get this, your victory is not in your results. Your victory is in your faithfulness. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Your victory is not in your results. Your victory is in your faithfulness. So one may ask, well, what is faithfulness and what does it look like? The answer is real simple. Faithfulness is choosing to do what is right when no one is looking. Faithfulness is choosing to do what's right even when you could get away with doing what's wrong. Faithfulness is not cutting corners at work and always giving your best effort. Faithfulness is going to your boss and saying, "Hey, I think there may have been an error in the system. I got an extra $500 on my paycheck." Now, I know that might be a little hard for some of us, but I'm here to tell you that God will honor your faithfulness far more than the impact $500 will have on your life. So what faithfulness is, it boils down to an issue of the heart. So when your heart is filled with the love of Christ, you'll honor him faithfully in all that you do, all that you say, and how you live your life. I'm reminded of a circumstance my kids and I experienced not too long ago. Been about a year or so ago. We were at Walmart shopping. Did the normal stuff, buying groceries for the house. Got the groceries, put it on the conveyor. The little checkout lady checked it out, bagged them up, put them in the cart, and go on about our way. Well, the bill was about $96, give or take. And so I handed the lady $100. She handed me back the change and the receipt. I just kind of shoved it in my pocket, put it in the cart, and kept it moving. Well, something kind of rose up in me as we were walking away. And I recall that $4 and change felt a little heavy, you know. So I kind of stopped where I was at, grabbed the receipt and the money and looked at it. And instead of ones, it was 20s. Okay, my beloved saints. What you going to do when the money's kind of tight at the house and you get a little extra money in your hand? Sometimes we assume somebody's mistake is our blessing. What choice will you make when you can easily get away with having that extra money? So there I was. I was faced with making that decision in that moment. But thank goodness, I already knew what the answer was. And if my oldest daughter were here, she'd tell you that without hesitation, but to her disappointment, we turned right on back around and got back in line and went and reconciled what we had discovered with the checkout lady. She immediately burst into tears and expressed how grateful she was that I came back. She's like, "Well, people normally aren't this honest, you know." But she mentioned she had a lot on her mind, family issues, and she just made an honest mistake. Okay? But the issue is, in this situation, is my getting that $96 could have caused her to lose her job and created all kind of chaos in her life. But the fact that I stood on faithfulness in this one little thing is what glorified God and his kingdom agenda in our lives. So Crossover Bible Church, I want you to know that because of your faithfulness in the little things you're doing right now, God is being glorified in his kingdom. And your desire to do the little things right will bring victory that is going to await you over on 36th Street North. Because of your faithfulness, the fullness of God's glory awaits you on 36th Street. Because of your faithfulness, the 68,000 square foot building awaits you on 36th Street. Because of your faithfulness, the sports complex is awaiting you on 36th Street. Because of your faithfulness, Crossover, the residential housing units is awaiting you on 36th Street. Because of your faithfulness, the mixed-use retail center is awaiting you on 36th Street. Because of your faithfulness, your time is coming where you will enter into your Master's joy. To God be the glory. God bless you for listening. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for those encouraging words. And as we stand to be dismissed, you know, Paul said something, because, yeah, God has given us a really cool vision for our community. And ultimately, it's about people being restored back to him through Christ. That's what it's about at the end of the day. And when you think about that, God's got to do it. And Paul, in one of his benedictions, you know, he says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We're dismissed. Amen.